If you're talking to a young booker, Steve, what advice would you give? What do you think are the keys to playing in that position?
You've got to have mental strength. I mean, in the end, for me, it was 60% mental, 40%, you know, your physical. And the physical side should come anyway. But you've got a bit of mental hardness about you. You know, you've got to be able to make those decisions, do the calls, and also consider, like I related earlier, who the referee is, you know, who your opposition is. What are their weaknesses, if any? How can you upset them? You know, I remember Kevin. Remember Kevin Bagheera, Bristol hooker.
Yes, yeah.
He was always very fallible on his very first put in. So you throw everything at it. Others, you could just upset. You learn how to upset them sometimes. For me, it was never talking, nor would I punch or anything like that. So you can unsettle them, shall we say. I can remember playing Sale at King's Holm, Steve Smith scrum half again, Andy Simpson hooking. We're on about 10 yards from their line, they're put in. I throw everything into it. I call in for an 8-man shove. I'm flapping for Andy Simpson, we used to use the flap signal then. And I'm also striking for it. Right? I've thrown three things into it. So, again, this is, you know, you've got to decide what you're going to do for these handful of occasions in a game. Mm-hmm. Right? But we won the ball, got the push on, and Teague scored. You know, I remember Simpson getting up spinning feathers again, but he was upset for the rest of the game. We won it. But, yeah, mental hardness, thinking about it, having trust in your props as well. You can't go on there without believing in the people you're packing down with. You know, I said to myself and Gordon Sargent, we always say we've had our arms around each other more than we have our wives, basically, over the years. But you've got to trust them. Same with Blakers, Berto, Richardson, Malcolm as well. You've got to have that trust, you know. If you haven't got that, it's the mental bit. You've got to do the trusting bit. And practice. Practice, whether it be repetitions with your foot, feed, striking. I don't strike much nowadays, so that's probably out the window. So I've probably forgotten how to do that bit. Certainly with the ball thrown in, I mean, for a long time, I used to practice running up and down a tram line, just bouncing the ball. But, you know, if you can bounce it, the rugby ball, you can do it properly. A little bit, just learning to control the thing. The throwing in techniques. I mean, they do a hell of a lot of these technical stuff now, so maybe not so much. But in my era, that's what you had to do. And no one taught you it, you taught yourself. Having belief in yourself as well. Not to the cockiness, but the belief that you can do it.
We've heard a fair amount from you about, shall we say, some frailties in the organisation at international level in England. Tell us about your relationship with the committee, etc., at Gloucester. How did you find the club run from a player's point of view?
It was always run, I thought, in a good way, albeit maybe a bit of an austere, older-fashioned way, shall we say, like I say, with the examples of me getting the players' bar moved, trying to keep the wives, the girlfriends, the referee's wife happy. You can't be like that in that modern age as it was coming into. You know, you've got to learn to accommodate these things and to change. But always it was uphill fight, I said, to get anything organised for trips away. You know, any freebie was unheard of, really. So it's like getting blood out of a stone sometimes. But overall, but on the other hand, the generosity was there. I can remember the beer kitty being there, 500 notes, you know, that's the beer kitty. You know, you go from one extreme to the other. There you are, you're in the John Player final, and we're arguing about a chicken leg, one or two. And there we are, there's your weekly 500 for the beer kitty. And they were always good in their own ways.
Yeah.
Everyone had a, you know, different outlook on life. Yeah.
Well, for the 3 years you were captain, you would have been on the selection committee. Yes, what were selection meetings like?
I'd go around the centre of the table in the over by the clock, the big sort of oval table around there. That was good. Everyone, it was a good democratic discussion, basically, I think. I mean, I can't remember times where I would have to argue the toss all the time, you know, and really sort of hit the table or whatever. I think it was really quite an agreeable time. If people did agree on the strength of the side and who would be best suited.
Yeah.
I suppose I had some of the bigger arguments I might have had were, I remember playing Bristol, a prop, we were short on props, we had injuries, so I went out to Loosehead, which I would favour, being left-handed and everything, and to bring up the second team hooker. I would have more arguments over that, because I thought I gave it a better balance, stronger front row. You know, I would still do the throwing in, but it did work out like that as well. So, yeah, controlled arguments, I think, shall we say. Probably got a bit upset when I used to take a flagon of cider in now and again for the lodge.
But as captain, you felt you did generally get the side that you wanted?
I think so, yes. I can't remember any great disagreements at all.
Yeah.
Even down to the subs and things like that, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that went pretty well.
Okay. Tell us about the social side of the game at Gloucester.
Social. Made it ourselves, really. Certainly when it was the big old bar over there. I mean, everyone could get in there, which everyone did. Later on, we moved from the Skittle Alley up into that more central bar, but we always used to come back down to the big public bar, because that's King's Arms. That was the heart of King's Arms. You know, you get in there, discuss the game with the, you know, the locals and everything. The wives and girlfriends used to get in there. And he made great friends, you know, even with just the supporters as well. It was a great club like that.
Yeah.
You know, and a few of us, you know, we would go out, you know, your pal up, or Paul Williams, lodging in the house sort of thing. So, you know, you got a little group, you're going out together and meeting up and everything. It was a strong social life, which I think was the strength of those years as well. You know, people like Stella Watkins, John's wife, and everything, you know, everyone used to get on. Mm.
And are they friendships that you've kept up since?
Paul Williams, I see, not on a regular basis, but I see him round about town. Cheltenham, rather, now and again. Gordon Sargent is the sort of main one, really. We sort of visit every Easter and Christmas, and it's those friendships. You know, you meet four times a year, but it's as if you haven't been away, you know, no difference sort of thing. So they're long term. And all of them, really, turning up to these games at King's Arms, which I'm very pleased to be part of now.
Former Players Association.
Yeah, I've seen Boyley and people like that again.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise I would perhaps see them once every 3-4 years, you know, if there's some do we all went to together. But I think these former players' games and the idea of it and the club, is Gloucester's been missing that. All the other clubs have had it except Gloucester. You know, it was, which is why people didn't turn their back on Gloucester, but I would go down to Lydney, because I'm staying with Gordon Sargent, perhaps go down on the Saturday. I would see more ex-players from Gloucester at Lydney games than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just watching.
Yeah.
But I hope it will be reversed now, and I think this will be a strength for the club as well.
Yeah, I think the club believes that as well.
It will be. Great, yeah. It will be.
So hopefully we'll see you in a couple of weeks before the half.
Very much so, on the 25th, yes. I'll be down at 3:30, and Gordon's coming down as well.
Good.
Yeah, more than happy to be there. Yeah.
You might have a word with him, see if he'll agree to being interviewed as
I'm sure he would do, yeah.
Well, that'd be good. Yeah. No, I think it's one of the nicest things, actually, to have come out of our project is, you know, it's brought the former players together and caused the association to start.
I think so, yes.
Because of course, after the history of the club is all about the former players.
Well, it is. You know? it always upset you to see other players like other clubs like Bath, and it was such a strong ex-players association and everything. You know, you talk to others, you know, from other clubs, and we go to this, and a free bar here, and really? Can we come along? Yeah, it's going to be really good for the club, and it's got to continue and just gain in strength.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hope it won't suddenly get watered down because the current players are not local, shall we say. You know, once they go, will they be back? I don't know. You know, I mean, put it as, like I say, I reiterate, when I was there, I was the foreigner because I was from Cirencester. But then I moved to Cheltenham, so I wasn't so much of a foreigner.
Before your era was Alan Townsend, and he was the foreigner because he was from Cheltenham.
That's right, yeah. I can't Can't win either way, can I?
Well, as you heard, it's very nice of you, by the way, to come and support our launch of the book. But as you heard there, Andy Hazel's advised by Dix not to live in Cheltenham.
Not to live in Cheltenham.
Go soft.
Oh dear, oh dear. I just have a word with Dix about this.